Addies.
I mean, like, it's a classic, like, trap Addies? Style.
No, Addies.
It's a classic trap style. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music, news, and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
And, wow. This has been quite a week in music releases. It's been quite a week in music news. And we have all of it right here, right now. Shout out Fatboy Slim.
I mean,
he never
gets
a shout out. He does not get a shout out very often. So there you go.
Right now.
Have a lot of... We have singles from Desmas and the Neptunes, which is a whole other thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have Foster the People, which Sean has a relationship with. When we go into albums, we'll have 1975, which Sean has a relationship with. Gunna's new project, Wanna, and Everything by Coda the Friend. We also, Lana Del Rey has opinions. And
which Sean has relationships with.
we will discuss those opinions and have our own opinions later on in the show as well. And... we may have a look at what post-COVID concerts might look like, and that is going to be strange. So let's get right into it with the singles. Pomegranate was released as a name of a single by Deadmau5 and the Neptunes. The Neptunes are a duo of Pharrell and Chad Hugo.
Yeah.
Remind me, Chad Hugo.
I can't think off the top of my head.
Let me look into this really fast. But
I know
he was a member of Nerd. So like he's like... This is like half of Nerd, basically. Pharrell has so many different like things. Yeah, I just lose track.
I always forget about Nerd, honestly.
Eight bit
Pharrell.
Yeah. but where are we here? So, Pomegranate as a song, including Deadmau5's production and Pharrell's production, it's like eerily close to Daft Punk, and it sounds like "Leaves Yourself to Dance."
Yeah, in a way, get on that.
Because it's like
it sounds like it's
EDM plus Pharrell. It's like that formula. It's been so long since we've been away from home. All the box, every last one gone. Best believe knowing this shit gone. It's been so long since we've been away from home. All the box, every last one gone. Best believe knowing this shit gone. What's the reason why we should do this tonight? Spend the night.
Yeah, similar to that. And then Deadmau5 has done other projects with other artists that are similar to this, and it sounds similar to other things he's done with other artists. So it's not bad. It's decent.
Yeah. It's very summery. It's very poppy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Upbeat, having like you'll definitely like it. Most people will like that track. For
you're not that excited for it?
What do you mean I'm not that excited for it?
I mean, like you.
I like it.
There's going to be like a new Neptune stuff coming out. It's kind of like the thing for here. So like there's going to be the Neptunes releasing stuff. So I don't know. It seems kind of interesting. I don't know. It sounds like...
Usually like Pharrell's music. So yeah, try it out.
It's a fun little dance song. Now we have Foster the People. Your previous relationship with them being that like...
They were one of my favorite little indie bands. And then they released Sacred Lonely Hearts shit in 2017.
Club.
And I hated that album with a burning passion.
Vehemently,
yes, because they sold out heavy. Lamb's Wool is okay. It's like, it definitely has a sound of Foster the People, but a more modern sound of it, and a little more electronic stuff into it, but it's not cliche like the last album was. So it's promising for sure. Like I'm listen to it, I'm like this definitely sounds like Foster the People, but enough of a branch off of their earlier stuff to make it different and make it its own thing, and it's not bad.
There's a lot of piano in it. It's kind of more of like a slower ballad song, but it has a lot of energy coming into it. I think, does this mean Foster the People are coming up with new stuff?
They're gonna have an album released this year, I'm pretty sure. So this sounded like that's what they did on their social media accounts when they released or they put this track out. So I don't know the dates or anything yet. Everything's sensitive anyways in general, so I'm not going to say shit because everything keeps changing daily for releases. But I know they definitely have something in the works for sure.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Speaking of indie related stuff, there is Indie Frugal. It's ooh because it's two O's there for
sure. I haven't
sure.
seen his name around for a while then. Whoops.
Jesus Lord. Flow Now by Frugal.
I mean, I liked the single. It's short. It's like 2.5 minutes long or so, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
2:20.
It's like indie electronica style, and it's good.
Yeah, it's almost plays with like an acoustic thing in it, and that's why it was kind of hard to pinpoint, because it's very minimal in that way. Guess I'm just partying. Yeah, it's interesting. Worth a listen, I guess.
Disclosure released a single, Energy, but we don't care because they have a album coming out that they just announced later this year, so we broke our own rule because they reviewed an EP, but you know.
Oh, no, not exactly. So it's like to explain it most like succinctly is that a while ago, a long time ago, they did this thing that we called the Moonlight EP because there was just a week where they released a bunch of songs and it was not related to anything. It was very explicitly that. So it was within the realm of like things Disclosure could do, where they just release 5 songs in a short period of time and like nothing ever really comes of it.
Yep.
And that's very in line with their past as well. And it's very in line with a lot of like electronic music artists. And so when they had the Ecstasy EP, which we talked about a couple of episodes ago even,
in February.
They all had their own similar sound to it, and Disclosure released it as like an EP and batched it together as an EP after all the singles came out, so we were assumed it was an EP. It turns out all the songs are going to be on an album that comes out in August. So
oops.
Whoops.
You can
August
see
asterisk
doing.
Because you know how these things are going this
year.
But it's sure to be very interesting. I noticed Sam Smith is not on there. I also noticed Lorde is not on there.
For now. I guess just the ones that they announced are like you have Common's going to be on it. The guy.
No, I mean like the full track list is there.
Oh, the full track list is there.
Yeah, the full track list is there. Well, never mind. So, no.
Interesting.
But yeah, there are a lot of.
It's definitely
different.
I mean, we talked about it already, so we'll discuss more on August. If you want to hear it, just go to our previous episode in February.
And we're almost certainly going to do like a Disclosure.
We're definitely going to do a bonus episode on Disclosure, 100%.
Yes. And Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande did release a single from Lady Gaga's new project.
Yes.
It's coming out next week, so we will talk about it next week, because there is a lot of music that we listen to this week.
Yeah, I need a week off soon. Like, I've been listening to way too much stuff.
Big mood. Yeah, we did have that 1975 preview episode that y'all should listen to. Check that out. Just grab the audio face. Oh God, let's get into the news. So Lana Del Rey, actually this is going to be a little segment we do before the 1975 review where we talk mostly about new albums that got announced. But Lana Del Rey decided to announce her new album by releasing a note and putting it on Instagram.
On a conditional form.
As celebrities are wont to do. And I think it's fair for me to read this quickly, but like thoroughly as best I can, to see why people interpreted it the way they did. And we'll talk about how that was interpreted, and we'll talk about Lana Del Rey more broadly. So, the Instagram note reads, "Question for the culture. Now that Doja Cat, Ariana, Camila, Cardi B, Kalani, and Nicki Minaj and Beyonce have had number ones with songs about being sexy, wearing no clothes, fucking, cheating, etc., can I please go back to singing about being embodied female, feeling beautiful by being in love, even if the relationship is not perfect, or dancing for money or whatever I want without being crucified or saying that I'm glamorizing abuse? Many question marks. I'm fed up with female writers and alt singers saying that I glamorize abuse when in reality I'm just glamorizing a person singing about the realities of what we're all seeing are very prevalent emotionally." Sentence structure for the win. Abusive relationships all over the world. "With all the topics women are finally allowed to explore, I just want to say over the last 10 years, I think it's pathetic that my minor lyrical exploration detailing my sometimes submissive or passive roles in relationships has often made people say I've set women back hundreds of years. Let me be clear, I am not a feminist, but there has been to be a kind of place in feminism for women who look and act like me. The kind of woman who says, no, but men hear yes. The kind of women who are slated mercilessly for being their authentic, delicate selves. The kind of women who get their own stories and voices taken away from them by stronger women or men who hate women. It's more just like her in that vein. She says, I'll be detailing some of my feelings in my next two books of poetry, mostly the second one with Simon and Schuster. She's donating some of the proceeds to Native American foundations of her choice, and she has a new album coming out September 5th. So there's a lot to unpack first part saying it's kind of like comparing her to artists that are having mainstream success right now, and they often speak about their relationships in their music.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have success with that. So she's wondering why, Lana Del Rey is wondering, why isn't there a place for her, Lana Del Rey, like extremely successful artist who like...
Norman fucking Rockwell got so much praise for an album. Like, we both didn't really like it. We thought it was cliche.
I mean, I thought it was one of her better albums.
It was definitely one of her better albums. I still think it's cliche. I think it's super cliche. And then she's trying to rep cities that she doesn't know about anything, but I'm going to end that warpath.
But that was anyways, a different thing.
But she got so much critical praise about that album all the time. Yeah. So I don't know what she's on about.
Well, the main part of it that I think is a thing to laser focus on, other than who she name dropped and all that stuff, is she says, I'm fed up with female writers and alt singers saying that I glamorize abuse when in reality I'm just a glamorous person saying about the realities of what we're all seeing now.
I'm a glamorous person.
There's a lot of embellishment to that, but there's another part that says, I think it's pathetic that my minor lyrical exploration detailing my sometimes submissive or passive roles in my relationships has often made people say I've set women back hundreds of years. This is a thing. It's like a cognitive distortion that social media has that I know is amplified it's amplified for you if you're a musician or a celebrity or someone in the public space, but saying that your lyrics have set feminism back hundreds of years, you have to like actually sit down and think that. You can't in the first part say that you're not among some of the artists who are mentioned, which by the way, just to touch on that for a really quick moment, like many of those artists have songs that are about all of the debauchery that Lana is kind of
Cardi
going
B,
against.
Beat This Pussy Up, Take It Like a Champ.
But there's also like Be Careful, and there's songs in Cardi B's repertoire that are very like deep and about getting your feelings hurt and stuff like that. There's definitely that with Ariana Grande. There's definitely that with Kalani. We just talked about that moments ago. To say that about Beyonce,
Beyonce
wasn't always like the yes queen, we like love her. She had to like, there was Charlie's Angels, there was like building her own name for herself. And so like there's a lot of stuff in there. There's Lemonade, like, part of this is like the thing Post Malone did last year, a couple years ago, where he said, oh, there's no rap music that makes me cry. It's just like, you're not looking hard
enough. It's like, dude,
and
you're
especially
stupid.
Weird for someone who considers themselves to be a contemporary of these artists that you're just like not looking that hard.
Yeah.
But the main part where, to get back to what I was saying, is like the main part where you're saying, often made people say I've set women back hundreds of years, just go offline. Just go offline. Because if you're actually going to take that criticism to heart, that one artist among many artists is single-handedly, with their own musical expression, which every artist does, setting back the idea of feminism hundreds of years or any sort of like thing like that where it actually means like it matters, or like to say that your music is single-handedly pushing feminism in any sort of direction is, it's either Lana Del Rey overblowing the criticism or Lana Del Rey is very much in her own head about herself. And it's probably a little bit of both.
But because think of that statement for a second. Going back hundreds of years of feminism, then how on God's green earth, grass flat green earth, is your music sending women back to not being able to vote? Or women not being allowed to drive unless you're in Saudi Arabia. Let's not talk about that. Or women not being allowed to...
Being able to drive on weekend. It's like getting gas in the 70s. It like, depends on how you're...
Getting gas in the 70s is real rough. So stuff like that. That's such a poor statement.
It's really short-sighted when Lana Del Rey demands a certain amount of respect for this statement, which she got a lot of credit for, because like it's just very, very ignorant. And the line where she's like, let's this be clear, I'm not a feminist, but...
It's not that's like saying, I'm not a racist, but Indians, or like, you say something random. Like,
she is constantly trying to say that she is making these feminine statements, yes. But she's very clearly saying, but I'm not a feminist. And I think, like, to say that is to accept this very, like, right-wing, like, 4chan male idea of what a feminist is, which is, like, an overblowing, mm-hmm. like, tiny percentage of people who are feminists, when if she, like, read, like, literally one or two books on feminism, like, one or two of the more prominent ones, it would be, like, it's just, it is... Yes, a lot of what Lana Del Rey is saying. You express yourself however it is. And mm-hmm. Lana Del Rey should be allowed to make whatever art she's making and express it in the way she does and put it on her albums. She can kind of do that because she has fuck you money. Like, she's yep. done really well and she can continue
also,
to do really well.
Also, maybe it's because those female artists are way better than you.
Yeah.
Like, they are hands down way better than just like describing their feelings, putting it out into the production of their music, making their music more available to people, and just making it objectively better.
Yeah. I think it's in touch with a broader audience as well.
For sure, 100%. You can give the criticism and stuff all you want, which we obviously do. We talked about Kalani, where we said, this is now such a saturated market to where there are artists that are doing way better within this little realm of yeah. talking about feelings and relationships and stuff, to where your album itself didn't even feel like great, but it's still going to be better than what Lana has done because it's a little bit more approachable and stuff into it. You can relate to it a little bit more in that regard.
Yeah. She doubled down by saying that the media is misunderstanding what she's saying, which is not a great place to start by saying. You at best worded things really badly, and at worst are just like super full of yourself in your own head. Just chill. But no, she just like tried to over apologize for it. And this one part that I thought was funny is that this just caused a bunch of fandoms to fight, and Doja Cat wasn't having the best of weekends. We'll talk about that later in a moment. But a lot of the fandoms were going against Lana Del Rey's fandom, and like Lana Del Rey's fandom are like, this is dicey territory, but like Lana Del Rey's fandom are like upper middle class sad girls, and like Cardi B's fandom and Nicki Minaj fandom is like part of Black Twitter.
And like they will whip out their claws and fuck you up.
Digitally. And there's literally one comment on there. From a Lana Del Rey fan that says, a comment was on the Instagram post Lana Del Rey said, from a Lana Del Rey fan, it said, please delete this, we're not a big fandom, we're all depressed and we cannot fight the barbs, please.
And that is a great attribution to your music, that it's not good, it's not as good as theirs, so... We report, you decide.
That's audio phase. 3 years and running. Okay.
Real quick.
Other things that are coming out very soon. This will be super quick. Fantastic Negrito announced that he is going to have a project coming in mid-August. August is going to be a pretty hot month. It's coming out like. Hot, yeah. Like we said, Lana Del Rey is going to be early September. So we'll have an opportunity to judge a little bit more of her music, including some of these thoughts, apparently. On her next project, I truly wish her well, and I hope it's the best thing she's produced so far, but... we report, you decide. And then Lorde is kind of come out of silence. She released another long Instagram post detailing how the touring cycle kind of wears her out, and she's been working kind of alone to recuperate, re-energize, and also find new musical inspiration, basically what we talk about on Audio Face fucking all the time. And she's working on a new album, and she's really excited.
Another female artist who is 800 million times better than Lana Del Rey, and doesn't complain.
Yeah.
Case in point. Lorde's music is unreal.
It may be a little bit of a purposeful thing that I juxtapose Lana Del Rey and Lorde
yes.
in this, because there are two ways to do this.
Exactly.
I'm just going to leave that there.
I'm just going to leave it at that. All right.
All right. We have a good amount of time, to go through this. I'll pause if we need to, but...
pause for a sec.
The 1975's Notes on a Conditional Form. It is
22 songs, an hour and 20 minutes long.
Yes, we've talked about the 1975 a lot, as far back as a year and change ago. In November, we talked about that, and we've had a recent episode where we went through.
And they were, I think, our very first. But then it was one of my very first music recommendations was the 1975.
Possibly, yeah.
I definitely remember doing that.
Yeah.
That was have to be like 10 or 15 episodes into Audio Face. So yes. We've been talking about it since the dawn of the podcast, basically.
Yes.
One of the many artists we do. But yes, anyways.
This has been a long awaited album. There's been a lot kind of said about it in the lore of the band. This is like the end of an era for them. And so
they're going to do what we always like to say is like take a break and chill for a while. Maddie's like, yeah, we're not making music for a long time after this.
Okay. One hopes.
Mike, good. Mike, take your time.
Because to release an album that is 22 songs long and an hour and 20 minutes long, you better be
so here's
really thoughtful about the time you're spending. And yeah. That might be a critique of my album.
The thing that's funny that I realized. I Like It When You Sleep, For You So Beautiful Yet So No, whatever, the 2016 album, which is might be my favorite, the 1975 album still to this day, even though Brief Inquiry is ridiculously good. Is only 6 minutes shorter than this.
That's sad.
Because I Like When You Sleep, the songs are a lot longer than this. This has a lot of interludes and other things, but we'll get into that. So yes. Anyways, it starts off with the 1975, which is normally their little opening track thing that go down soft sound that they've done in the previous three albums. It is now a little monologue opening of Greta Thunberg that she's just rambling on about climate change, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
like I'll give
rambling on's a little pejorative. It's a pretty like moving speech.
Yeah, it's really about, big about climate change,
activism, really. Yeah,
and all of that stuff. Which I always say, if you're going to make a statement or something, go for it. And they did it on that regard, so that's pretty cool. And it's strange for an opening for an album, but I'll take it.
I mean, it's not real. I mean, like it's every 1975 album begins like with a fairly instrumental kind of thing, an expression of some kind. I'll say it's a good intro to People. It's just not a great intro to this album. Because part of this album's like issue is just like it's a collection of songs. It doesn't really like have this bit that goes together.
So you have People, which is we reviewed back in August, which was their first single, and it was the really hard rock song, just
punk.
It's him going Maddie's Marilyn Manson moment, where he's just like screaming, going off on the world, and I love this song so much. Love the energy of it. It's a great like starter for the album, and then you go straight from that to the end, in parentheses, Music for Cars, which is a beautiful little piece, but it's just felt really strange right after People. You're just like energized and pumped, and then you go into that to try to bridge the gap between that and Feral Set of Mind. I go, okay, I can see what they're trying to do, but it like brings the album to a screeching halt immediately in that regard.
I mean, like I almost would have rather have nothing in between People and Feral State of Mind, just to like.
Yeah, I like the end. I really like the instrumentals of it, and I wish they would have put that somewhere else. Honestly.
It feels like it should be the song at the end of the album, but Guys feels like that more. So we'll get that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Feral State of Mind, fucking fantastic. Stay at mine. You might just like it. Might stop you being miserable. Nah, I'm alright. Nah, trust I'm fine. Just dealing with. Oh, don't be shy. I'm sorry, but I always get this way sometimes. You lie your sleeve. I'll stay behind. I'm sorry about my. Absolutely love it.
It's a fairly like bare bones like 1975 style song, minus the like shimmering chimes. It's not like that glitzy of a song, but it's like a kind of like up pace, similar to like if you know Maddie Healy's vocals. Is definitely that.
Yeah, it's about Maddie's anxieties of being on stage, and I really like that because the main theme of this album for the songs that have lyrics in it is basically Maddie taking a sledgehammer to his own ego and saying, "Hey, look." I'm actually really not this confident, crazy guy you see on stage. If you really know me and how insular I am and how scared of things I am, this is what it's like. So
a lot of the lyrics in this album are very self-referential.
Yes.
It's referring to old lyrics, which is like, they're definitely two spins to look on it. I think there is an aspect of it that is very self-reflective. Mm-hmm. And then there's another aspect of it that is like, at what point is drawing attention to the ego or awareness of the ego.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's that fine line between going through, because people say different things about it, because people are saying, you saying about it is you having an ego, and other people saying, hey, he's actually trying to improve himself in that regard.
But I even think like to the broader review, like I think that's kind of the issue, is that there are a lot of times where I think mainly Maddie, but like the 1975 choose to go on these sort of lyrical, I mean, not musical tangents. Like they were in this mood. This album was a lot made in between parts of a little bit before Brief Inquiry and then up to now. So a lot of their tour, a lot of their world tour. And so a lot of it's inspired by that. So it's almost as though Gorillaz released Plastic Beach along with The Fall at the same time. And like, because of that, some things like, In the after Frail State of Mind past streaming, there's
The Birthday Party.
There's like a stream of songs that are very sort of Americana folk inspired, like the 1975's take on those things. And this album should have had one of them.
And here's the thing, that right after The Birthday Party, you have a crazy song called Yeah I Know, where they're using modular synthesizers for the first time. If you know what a modular synthesizer is, it's a giant wall of wires that you use to plug in and sample different instruments and stuff, and like Radiohead use it, and it's very complicated to do. And George, who's the drummer, is a big house head, a big electronic music lover and stuff. He grew up on that stuff, and he used it to do into Yeah No. All right, after Birthday Party, I go, oh my god, this is awesome. Leave on Mars. Fuck it up.
Yes.
Like, I really, really love that sound. It's beautiful. And then it goes into that Americana stuff, and I go, I agree with you in that regard, 100%, where I go, you should maybe have one, two maximum in here, but because of the rest that's in here, that's the part of the album I don't like.
Yeah.
Is Then Because She Goes is a good little rock song. It's not super Americana. Jesus Christ, 2005, God Bless America, thanks, Maddie, and Roadkill are those two Americana songs that just feel extremely out of place on this album.
Yeah, it's just like like literally Matty Healy could have made like a solo country EP or like folk inspired and just threw those on there. Like they're not bad songs, and the thing, like even my worst complaints about this album is that these aren't bad songs. It's just, why did these all need to be here? Especially when Brief Inquiry for the 1975 had a lot of focus.
And here's the thing with this album. Originally, it was supposed to come out not too long after Brief Inquiry, maybe about six to 10 months after Brief Inquiry.
Like a full thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it was supposed to be more dance inspired, and it was supposed to be a dance thing to complement a Brief Inquiry. That was the original idea of this album. And I remember he talked about that in interviews and stuff at the end of 2018. I go, that's a great idea. I think that like they can explore a little bit more. The problem is they kept writing songs at the same time, and they just added those to the album. And I wish they would have kept with the original thing and made it more into like songs like Yeah, I Know, I Think There's Something You Should Know, which I'll get to in a second. And done the album that way instead of bringing in all of these other sounds into it, because it just feels super choppy in that regard. Because there's so many electronic songs in here which they've explored and really changed their sound into that regard, and they're amazing.
And that's where it's near the latter half of the album.
Yeah,
that's where you can really start to feel that connection of, oh, this would have been dancier Brief Inquiry.
And it would have
connected,
been
but it's
fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Me and You Together song's really good. It's more like a 90s Britpop type of song. I love it. Again, it still kind of feels strange, this album. I Think There's Something You Should Know is one of my favorites on this album. Absolutely love that track. Dance beat, it's going back and forth again, going into reflective. There's Something You Should Know. I want to look at myself, I want to see what I look like from the outside, so see how I interact with people and everything. So that's a really cool theme into that. Nothing Revealed / Everything Denied is kind of like a throwaway song. They didn't need to put that in there, honestly. Tonight I Wish I Was Your Boy is a really strange song, and it's Graduation Kanye mixed with Justin Timberlake for the sound. It's strange. And again, I like the song itself. In this album, in this context, between what it's sandwiched between, it doesn't fit. Because then you have Shiny Collarbone, which comes after, which is straight up UK garage. Straight up house music. Awesome.
It's probably my favorite thing. It's
Shiny
one of those
Collarbone
divisive
is
parts.
Awesome.
it's one of the most divisive parts of the album, but mm-hmm. here's the thing, it's like, this album cannot decide, like...
what it wants to do.
What it wants to do, what it wants to be. My complaint with the 1975 more broadly, and especially Brief Inquiry, was that at its worst, it is just very ham-fisted with whatever it's trying to do. And unfortunately, this album is trying to be a, like, 1975 callback, completion, culmination kind of album.
Yeah.
And so it's everything about them all the time overwhelming. And it's just kind of... Yeah, it's just like it has...
Attention issues.
It's just like kind of lost. And it's frustrating because it would make the album a lot better if it just chose that dance focus. And again, like maybe one song is like People and then one song is sort of country.
And then you have Right After Charlie Collarbone, you have If You're Too Shy.
Yeah.
And If You're Too Shy is this beautiful 80s track that is the epitome of the 1975 right there. Like one of their best written songs I've had in a while, where it hits everything in that regard. But again, I go, you put that right after Shiny Collarbone, so it felt strange in that regard. There's things where I wish they would have done a more dance-heavy album, or like creep the dance songs, maybe have another one, and then have an EP on the side of all the other stuff, because that would have made it way more cohesive and made better. Because then after You're Too Shy, those tracks... I don't remember playing on my mind, honestly, which is hilarious. Having No Head, What Should I Say, and Bagsy and Net are all dance-inspired music, and they're very, very good.
What Should I Say especially is the most, like...
It's dance. It's like a dance hall, and it's strange.
It comes very close to sounding like a zoo song. I haven't seen many artists like try to come close to or even do. I found it to be very interesting. I still think like I would prefer Zoo, like regular Zoo, to this.
Yeah, 100%.
Also released a single recently, but I'm fucking tired. And like it's again, there's so many good ideas here, and even like the things that are kind of throwaway are the songs that you get lost in the shuffle because it's a 22 song album.
Mm-hmm.
They're good songs. It's just so...
Yeah, there's too many ideas.
You don't want it presented this way.
Yeah.
It's like, I like donuts. I really like donuts. An original glazed donut that's done perfectly fine, great. Don't give me 48 of them.
Yeah.
Don't give me 48 of them to have at once.
And then the last two tracks, Don't Worry, Guys. Don't Worry is a little piano ballad of like a little love song, and it's awesome. I started to really enjoy that track a little bit more today. And then Guys is... I think it's a really good ending for this because it's Maddie wrote this song himself, and it's about him literally just thanking the band for becoming a band because they've been together since they were about 13.
Yeah, so middle school.
Yeah, they've known each other for most of their entire lives, and they've been together for 15 plus years, which is crazy to think of. That's how long they've been a band together. So. I really like it as an ending track, especially if they're going to go on... Well, they're still going to tour and stuff and do other things, but they're going to go on a little musical hiatus, which I think they need to do in general, because they've been releasing music a lot for the tens, and they need to do the Gorillaz of... Or the Damon Albarn of, hey...
The Damon Albarn after Plastic Beach.
Yeah, after Plastic Beach of, hey, you've made really good music, chill the fuck out for a while and just figure out exactly what you want to do. And you can tell they want to do that because... they're tired. They've been touring nonstop for 8 years and stuff. So they, especially in this quarantine, Maddie was saying, they've really looked introspective and they've been working on some stuff, but they really want to iron everything out before it's ready because they don't want to rush stuff like this. Anyways.
Which is good because like,
Yeah.
I looked. The deluxe version of Humans has two fewer songs than this, and it's Jesus. A half hour shorter.
That's hilarious.
Because it's a bunch of songs that, like, because they're fairly good collection, but it's a playlist. It's just, like, mm-hmm. cobbled together. It doesn't sound right. It seems like a bunch of ideas here and there that are takes on things, and some of those takes land, and some of those takes are just, like, kind of forgettable.
But here's the thing that I will say for the 1975. They've definitely solidified their place as one of my favorite bands, because what do we always say on Audioface? Change your sound. Change, do something different. They definitely did something different.
Yes, they did.
And the stuff they did different was amazing. It was fantastic. I just want them to do what they did with on their previous three albums, which is really hone in on something that you want to do, make it a sound, and stick to it, which, again, was the original plan. And if they stuck to that original plan, you might have had one of the albums of the year contenders. But now, with this, there's so much good stuff coming out in 2020 that is
it's way
more
crazy. It's a good
album,
but it's
a great album, but it's definitely not one of their best, for sure. Because you, like... But there are amazing songs of this album.
Yeah,
so.
the angle that they tried to go for is very old school pop, in that you try to make an album that sounds like a little bit of everything, so that everyone likes something on the album. It's what singer songrider artists do basically all the time.
And I think that's definitely the case, where just about almost any music lover will find something in here they'll enjoy, because you have like Roadkill's basically a country song, which for me, I don't like, because I really don't like country. I have tried and tried.
I will outright say that I don't like the 1975 spin on country. I would think it was cute if they did it for one song, and that one song would be The Birthday Party, but like, I actually find that song to be very grating against my ears. I do not plan to listen to it much more ever.
Yeah, The Birthday Party is okay. Roadkill, I didn't like at all. But there's like House Joints, which I actually sent to three people that I know that like house music. Like, hey, you don't like the 1975. Actually, Bam is one of them from the We Made It podcast shout out, where he's a big house head. I'm like, listen to these three tracks, because I wonder if you'll like them, because I know you don't like the 1975's normal music, but try this and see what happens. So,
yeah.
Anyways, that was long, but it was a long ass fucking album, so.
Yeah.
Also, stop making music for a while, please.
Yeah. Sean, you need to find that clip of Matty Healy saying double albums are bad for fans, because holy shit, do I have to put him on blast. This is Migos' album was 8 minutes longer.
Yeah.
Culture 3, it's seriously.
He's right, though, because they're bad for fans, and I'm a fan of them, and...
This was definitely the weakest point of this album, was that it was too much.
Yes.
Arbitrary Scale, Jamba Juice Flavors.
This is the peanut butter and banana protein, which is really good depending on the day and who makes it.
This is the strawberry gummy bear. Really good. A little too much.
Yeah, the gummy bear. That's a lot.
You don't need gummy bears in a smoothie.
You don't.
It defeats the entire fucking purpose.
Exactly.
So, the first post-COVID concert, we have somewhat of an idea of what that'll finally look like. And it's
strange.
It sucks.
There's a concert in Arkansas, right? Yeah. That, if you look at the picture from Concert Goes to Sound article, it's literally... four people in a crowd that are spaced out on chairs 6 feet apart, and there's just somebody with a girl with acoustic guitar out on stage. Yeah, that sucks.
It's pretty
basically drag. Rip concerts for the foreseeable future until shit comes down.
Basically, what was it like? Like, the allowed capacity was cut down from 1,000, which it usually is at for that venue, to 200. Attendees were kept 6 feet apart by official tape or specific ground seating.
Mm-hmm.
Concert goers had their temperatures taken upon arrival and required to wear masks at all times. Because the best thing about most concert venues I know, the real quality thing about their venues is not really the sound, it's not really the atmosphere, but it's the... air ventilation.
It's the air ventilation. It's the air conditioning in there. That's the best thing about concerts. You can breathe normally. You don't get nosebleeds in there. It's awesome.
No, there's no like smells of anyone's smoke.
I'm like, how bad do they smell?
I mean, it's just like...
I don't know if that always has a smell.
People are smoking in there, so it's just like there's all of those sort of smells. There's like Keystone Light that someone spilled on the floor from three concerts ago. Then there's just like a lot of...
That's gotta be awful.
Piss wasa. It's just... It's not great, and now you have to wear a mask. So
yeah. Oof.
It's... Again, like, if you really want to try this, like, if you want to do it as an art exhibit, maybe, mm-hmm. and have, like, an art exhibit's worth amount of people to come to mm-hmm. it, then sure. But this is actually... not ideal. Most people, experts are saying that concerts, as we know them, probably going to come back, aren't going to come back until, optimistically, the first half of 2021.
Yeah, so, sometime next year.
It'll be interesting to see how what happens to basically all the artists that are touring, because a lot of people are going to want to come back to concerts. On the other hand, a lot of people are not going to want to be around large groups of people,
it depends.
Even with a vaccine out. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting, and we'll be here to tell you about that.
Yes.
Second album
of the week. We have Wanna by Gunna. It is 18 songs long, 50 minutes long, and somehow it's a trap album that is shorter than an alternative album that we did this week, which is very interesting.
It's okay.
Yeah, so...
Here's the thing with Gunna. I've heard a few of his other tracks before, well, not because you just hear it in passing and stuff are at my gym. People like it. So it's not anything that I want to gouge my ears out with the trap, but it's nothing inspiring.
Right.
For the trap. Okay. So like, it starts with Argentina. Here's the thing. I had the album in the background and I was like listening to the album and I didn't want to skip a song until I got to Addis.
Really?
Yeah, like Argentina gimmick are okay.
That's
like,
pretty far for you getting into a trap.
Yeah, no, and I actually really like Dollars on My Head, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. The only thing I would really say is that the distinction with Gunna is that in his production with all of his music, it's just like the drums are a little bit more minimal in trap, which is interesting. Usually there's a lot of flair and you're trying to fill all 140 beats per minute with like as many sounds and things that are going around, whereas Gunna's production is very
minimal, it's tight. That's what I like about it.
The specific percussion that's used is very imaginative if you're really paying close attention to it. There's a lot of use of like tribal drums and things like that, so
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
What I was going to say with this is obviously it's normal trap in how it's constructed, but again the drums, it's not overdone to where there's so much sound going on because of everything that's overdubbed with the drums and everything that and trap snare that's normally on trap albums, to where I just like I can't physically listen to this. It's more stripped down and you have different sounds in there, and it's the other album we're going to review in a little bit kind of does something similar to where it's you can hear the sounds go around you in that regard with like different drums, different even like little electronic sounds and stuff, and you can hear that with the first five songs for sure.
They have the space to stand up.
Yeah, like Dollars on My Head featuring Young Thug, I like it a lot. You pull that don't make sense. I made a whole mile off an inch. I had 99 problems. I just scratch your heart to this. Got some means and winning. Solved on my neck. Cause a quarter brick. I've been getting it since the toddler. I keep dollars on my head. Been a real one is my motto. Handle my problems. I ain't scared. I put Prada on my collar. Cause she proud of what I said. I'm a leader. I got on follow. And my footsteps like the fist. I shoot like I'm a Montana. Chop up bullets. Make them shit. It's the construction of it's good. It's the lyrics, everything. It's all right. Like I can listen to this and be fine, and I can put this on a playlist, and I can be fine with this. Then you get to Addis, which is just absolute ass.
I love Addis.
Really, because he's just saying Addis, Addis, Addis.
I mean, like Addis. It's a classic like trap Addis? Style.
No Addis.
It's a classic trap style production in that it is a lot more upbeat.
It's compared to the usual Gunna, but
that's not my reason I like it. The reason I like it, A, there's a double entendre, because like it's come to the Addy, like it's the Addy.
Yeah,
like,
yes, Addy, like, I know what it means.
No, but like the other double entendre is the drug Addy.
Yeah, exactly.
And so like, I like that little twist in it. I think that's a little bit fun and it's good to do in a hook for a rap song. And yes, it's like much of the hook is just like Addy, Addy. Addy.
That's the thing. I'm like, I get over it after all. The production, the thing is, I really like the production on the song. Like, the actual beats are good. It's just after a while, I'm like, can you stop saying Addy every two sets? Like, is there any other lyrics? Can you say at least, can you do like a future and go for like 2 seconds? It would make it a little bit better. And then it goes, Addy. More Addy. I'm like, all right.
Fair. There could be more lyrical dexterity.
Because his lyrics are okay. Like throughout the album, they're okay.
It's as far as trap goes, fairly inoffensive. I mean, like we went in one on Future last
time.
This is fine. When I kind of get annoyed with the album is when it tries to do the pick and choose thing from a bunch of other like trap projects. So like Addies is fine for me. Skybox is a little bit of a problem in the beginning because Skybox and I think Met Gala or another song in there start to do the Lil Uzi Vert, I'm just gonna go fucking wild with the xylophone effect kind of thing. And it's annoying. And Skybox is a little bit weird because it does that a lot in the beginning, kind of like to get people into the song. If that gets people into the song, I don't understand why. But the rest of it, the xylophone effect is very muted and it's kind of bassy, so it's a lot less annoying to deal with.
And then you have Rockstar Bikers and Change, which does the Lil Wayne of putting a bunch of guitar into a trap song.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm like, okay, just... That doesn't.
But it doesn't sound particularly good.
No, and it just that one felt super out of place between the rest of the album. It felt like the black sheep in it, and it wasn't. You can have a black sheep in an album if it's done right, but that definitely wasn't done right.
Yeah. Met Gala is sort of whatever. It's just like every trap artist has to have some song relating to some like art event. Right. Actually, like the other half of On Camera or like Nasty Girl slash
On Camera,
because. Basically, it takes the bass, or it takes like one of the elements instrument. I think it's the bass, the backing bass for Nasty Girl, and then it moves that as a key instrumental part for On Camera. I told her to turn for the camera. Yeah. She wanna suck it on camera. Yeah. I let my shit hang like a banner. I'm up on my head like bandanas. Yeah. She wanna suck it on camera. These little boys don't want animal. I talk to the hoe with no manners. Thick meek on the floor in the phantom. Had it caught to the top with no ladder. Got my means, it don't even matter. Turbo with me for life and then nothing. You know Weezy, my brother like Tana. That's cool.
Really
good sense as like a double trap song.
Yeah.
Unlike a lot of double trap songs where it's just straight hacking three songs
together. Yeah, just you go like...
Life's Good,
Life with Future, good. You go from
Travis
Drake,
Scott's Astro World,
exactly.
Some of these songs.
You go from
like
Drake
that.
To Future and it's just like, you just chops right in the middle and you're like, okay.
It's like these are just completely different songs. There's no continuity.
That's
there's
what
continuity
like with,
here at least.
That's what I like with Gunna. It's just, I really like his production on the album throughout it because it's...
Yeah.
It's you can tell it's a really thought out and stuff within it. So
yeah.
I agree with a lot of
Take Heath and a couple others do a lot of their best here, making it sound like Gunna, but also like having it their own sound. So I think like production is far above average for
100%. Yeah. Except Travis Scott's song, top four. It's bad.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Absolutely terrible. Yeah. Like
Young Thug and Gunna are a good mix together and they're on here a couple times on the album.
Yes.
But Travis Scott and Gunna
together
sounds way too much like I almost start like my beard starts graying, I start becoming an uncle rapper a little bit. Like, stop fucking mumbling with these people.
Because Travis Scott, like, you just put it on, you put anything on Travis Scott on here and he puts too much of him into a song.
Yeah.
Which is like the top four, it just goes where he goes, yeah! And he just keeps going over and over. Because normally he only does it like three times and then another three times. He did like 15 times in a row. And I go, where's Gunna's part? It's supposed to be a Gunna song, but he's not on there at all. And Far, the last song with Young Thug, is okay. I definitely like Dollars on My Head a lot more, but I like Young Thug as a future, as a feature, not a future. So it's all right.
Yeah.
Which is saying a lot for me. As the resident, I don't really like trap depending on who's making it. But I came in here because thinking, I'm like, this is probably going to be absolute ass.
Oh, yeah,
but I'll listen to
it. You also
it.
Look at the album cover and it's just like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. The album cover, I'm like, oh, god damn it. Here we go again. Another Astro World. I'm going to hate my life. And I listen to it and I go, I was shocked. Like after the first five songs, I go,
yeah,
I
you usually listen. Stop it too.
Yeah, I'm like, I can deadass listen to these first five songs. Like, all right.
Yeah.
It's okay. I can work out to this.
Yeah, I think Feigning as well, I could definitely play.
Feigning? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Tear some ass in Valorant. Okay, Arbitrary Scale is going to be Jamba Juices, as we've been doing this week. I'm going to give this a... I think it's ginger and... it's the orange one. It's greens and ginger.
Greens and ginger. I know what you're talking about. That's good. This is a piña colada one because I can't have it because it has coconut in it, so it'll kill me, but I've heard it's really good. From what I've heard, it's really good.
From what I heard, it's really good, but I can't have too much because it'll kill me.
Yep, exactly.
we're pretty chill at these. Okay.
Oh, God, dear Christ. So we get to 4chan now.
Meanwhile, on 4chan...
Doja Cat.
Doja Cat, who you know, Doja Cat's been a very interesting person. She's been extremely kind of terminally online. One of her like first viral things was that I'm a Cowboy song. And then was Say So from her previous from her most recent album, which was for pop, like pretty good. It was also one that people mentioned in Lana Del Rey's Instagram content nuke thing. But like that's a whole separate problem. A lot of people started going after Doja Cat later that weekend, the weekend we're recording this, because it was uncovered that Doja Cat, who is of Jewish and South African descent, has been joining these chat rooms with basically far-right incels who are like,
They're all white supremacists.
They're all neckbeards. Their homepage on their computer is either AOL.com because they haven't changed it since the good old days, or it's Drudge Report. There's no in between.
Drudge Report. Fuck. Or it's going to be that picture.
The best design website in America.
Or it's going to be a thing of Trump with an American flag and his dick suck.
Yeah. there's a lot of interesting things here. Yeah, they're all acting like incels. She's saying the N-word for fun, kind of like as entertainment. It's like almost as though it's one of those cam shows instead of like paying a certain amount of, it's like instead of paying a certain
cam
amount
cells
of,
for incels.
Yeah, it's like instead cam of paying shows. A certain amount of money to like do something on camera, it's just a racist thing. It's like, hey, give me 30 cents and I'll say the N-word.
Give me 30 cents and I'll say how black people are inferior or some random shit.
Yeah, it's like I'll sing from Uncle Ruckus's EP if you give me $5.
Hey, give me $100, I'll make an album with Jimmy Rebel.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 400 and we're talking. But like the main there was this whole thing where like, oh, Doja Cat is canceled, all this stuff. All this is very short-sighted and stuff, sure, but get over the canceling thing. It's just a word
stupid.
It's just a word that people click on, and so editors keep putting it in titles. But it has no actual meaning. These people have more material wealth than many of the people who read the article combined, so they're never going to be canceled. If anything, no one remembers them, and they can live out the rest of their lives as wealthy people.
Like me, like Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, Milo Yiannopoulos is extreme broke, but like, yeah. That's a different thing.
He's the Greek economy.
like moratorium on Matty Healy for like a while. the Chrome Dome himself, Joe Rogan, has announced that he is going exclusively to Spotify. And he's taking its sounds exclusively to Spotify, the music app. It's interesting because Spotify has been making these podcast plays. We've talked about this a little bit on our music industry shit type episodes of Audio Face. But Spotify as a company has been acquiring podcast creation platforms like Anchor. It's like a really like dumbass easy download an iPhone app. You have a podcast way of doing podcasts networks like Gimlet and The Ringers, where Bill Simmons is. So they've been making plays in podcast creation and also just like podcast content and networks.
Yes.
And so they just want people to use their app for podcasts, which will be great because if that happens, Spotify can then track your podcast listening data and do a number of things with them, recommend you new podcasts, and obviously do all the things social networks do when they can know what information you have, which is ultimately sell that information to advertisers. And speaking of advertisers, one thing they may do, but it isn't completely clear, is whether or not they'll double dip in revenue, because a lot of people... So to listen to Spotify, I mean, listen to Joe Rogan.
Right.
He usually right now has a YouTube show and a podcast you can listen to everywhere. Coming soon, you'll only be able to listen to the podcast on Spotify, and then the videos will exclusively only be on Spotify.
And then the only thing that'll not be on Spotify is he's still going to do a clip thingy.
Yeah, he'll
YouTube.
Have clips on YouTube. That's it. Yeah. And the exclusivity of that, of getting people just to like use Spotify only. By the way, he's getting paid a cool 100 million plus for this.
Fuck, dude. God damn.
100
that's,
million.
That's footballer dollars. Money, dude. That's ridiculous.
Just like for him and Jamie to smoke weed and talk to a camera. $100 million. But yeah, they're making all these plays so that they can be a hub for your ears. So that includes music and that includes podcasting. But it might double dip in the sense that, so you'll be able to listen to this podcast as a Spotify free subscriber. But if you're Spotify premium, the Joe Rogan Experience and many of the podcasts that are on Spotify are also going to have ads inserted into them. So even if you're a Spotify premium subscriber, you might still encounter ads in podcasts. You kind of do now, but that's just because the ads are inserted, embedded into a file itself. So the ads would appear on the podcast app.
It's like,
And usually they're like live reads where the person is reading them live and it's like directly sponsoring the product they're doing.
Like RT Podcast is that, so there's, you can't get around it.
Yeah. But if Spotify inserts them themselves, A, Spotify come through with that paper, and B, what control does Spotify get over that? And that's another good thing for Spotify to get podcasts on their platform, because Spotify has to pay the record labels a lot of money for royalties, and this Spotify has to pay more podcast platformers dick.
Exactly. So that's one thing that, that's what I wanted to get into for the music. The musicality of it is now they should be able to get, if they get more traction and stuff over this time and whatnot, because he has such a giant following, but then they start getting other people onto their podcast platform and whatnot, and they get more audiences and more subscribers, whatever, to Spotify. That's good for artists, I'm hoping, to where they could hopefully get more and then get into the platform a little bit easier and stuff, especially the smaller artists.
Hot take, this is great for us.
Oh, hot take. No, please. If they start inserting ads, I mean, like,
but uniquely, this is great for us because we have leveraged a lot of our podcast distribution onto Spotify, and we have pretty good numbers, probably the best numbers of any individual platform, maybe even better than Apple Podcast, is on Spotify. And if Spotify is going to try to be a tastemaker between what podcast people should listen to and what music people should listen to, and then being a music podcast might be a really uniquely good business
decision. Next thing you know, I'm rolling up into the crib with the electric blue NSX. Getting that sweet, sweet Spotify money.
Yeah. If Daniel Ek, please pay no attention to the Kendrick Lamar episode of Audio Face, but if you would at all like to kick over $50 million to Audio Face.
And get the whole studio, man. We can interview artists. We can roast Lana Del Rey on the spot.
Imagine like Joe Biden's thing on The Breakfast Club, but it's us and Lana Del Rey.
That's the last episode of Audio Face. You hope I know. I'm canceling myself if that happens, because I'm gonna wild out.
No, that would be like you and Ariana Grande.
That's not allowed.
I'd have to sit in the middle.
And then you'd have to social distance like 15 feet apart. Like, that's not allowed.
No, it's like Sean is checks notes in traffic and will be unable to be in this episode.
I am stuck on the 10.
No, it's like you name one of the easy to get through freeways. Right. Like, he's stuck on the 60.
I'm stuck on the 22 coming up. Wait, what? There's no traffic. He's stuck on the 22. Meanwhile, I'm just chilling at home eating Cheetos in bed.
He is stuck in traffic on the open road. Oh my God. And we have Coda the Friends album, Everything, was released this week. It is 12 songs long, 37 minutes, almost 38 minutes. And it is, compared to everything else we reviewed this week, very muted and kind of focused in a way. It's very short. What do I describe it? It's like one part Smino, one part Anderson .Paak, one part Bishop Nehru.
It is Freddie Gibbs, Bishop Nehru, and Surfaces.
I wouldn't say Freddie Gibbs. I'd say like Madlib's production on Freddie Gibbs.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like Freddie Gibbs at all.
But like it's very, very different.
Yeah, it's
like
very, very unique and eclectic. It's almost like, God, I'll remember in a moment, but he released an album that we reviewed last year. I'll get back to it. Continue.
Anyways, so Summer House, it starts off, and it's feel good trap, as I like to call it, where it's this
positive.
Yeah, literally says positive vibes, I think, in the song, where it's like,
wonderful.
It's like, did you go to Weed Maps and like search out your dealer and figure it out? Oh God. Dan's like, what?
No, I was actually like rolling my eyes at the same time I was doing the eye roll trying to remember the artist that I can't remember. So just well timed.
And it starts off like, is this fun, it has a trap beat in it, the lyrics are super chill, saying how you want to chill out and everything, and that's Summer House in a nutshell. Then you go to Mikasa, which I actually really, really like Mikasa. I don't want nothing today. I have got nothing to say. Don't ask for nothing today. Me and my cup on the bay. I don't want supper today. Don't hit me talking that shit. You tell that man in his face. I am not having a fit. I am just setting the pace. You only getting a taste. Yeah. Spring coming and I love to see it. It's a better day. Hot summer, get the bread and butter, then I get away. It's a song where it has a, kind of that same style where it's, you feel like you're floating down in a pool, chilling in like the Caribbean somewhere, whatever, wherever your vacation destination is. That isn't going to happen
your
this year.
Your imaginary vacation destination.
That isn't going to happen this year.
Wherever you put Google Earth on the flat screen.
That's right. You see some tropical fishies. Ooh, look at the fishies, right?
No, no, you buy a $40 projector on sale from Best Buy, go to your friend's pool and just like project a beach right on that, and that's your holiday.
Yeah, but anyways, it's one of the things, it's again like... Oh God. stop. Mikasa's a song, again, it has that production, everything, where it's different than a normal trap. It has the drums and the snare of a normal trap song, but then around it is this beautiful production of almost like a surface song, where it's kind of that hipstery, fun, loving, go easy going, whatever. That's, and Mikasa definitely amplifies that by far, because it goes like, Mikasa, Tsukasa, come over to the crib and chill. I've got good friends, good vibes, and good whatever. And I'm like, okay, didn't expect to hear this on this album, but all right, cool.
Fair enough. Yeah, and it's very as you can tell, it's like positive, moody sort of trap tones, which is to on its own be fairly different. I like BQE.
BQE is fantastic.
It's jazzy, it's fun, it's upbeat. There's like little saxophone.
Joy Badass sounds good on it. Gotta learn to just play with the cards you dealt. These niggas too hard on they self. Niggas too hard to offer them help. I don't work too hard for all this wealth. For the first two bars, how all it fell. Ayy, still in the field like in the field. Or MLB playing center field. Rain on the day, just take the wheel. Ayy, is you getting on this train?
Yeah, it's overall, it's like a really good, just like, sorry to be too super Gen Z about it, just vibes mix.
Deadass vibes. Yeah. Long Beach is definitely a turn, because it gets rid of the trap into that song, and it becomes kind of like almost like a pop song.
This sounds like straight out of Anderson .Paak. It's like even got the theme of making a song about remembering your history with some relationship kind
yes.
of deal.
Yes, and so then saying, like, I want to go back. I miss California. I want to go back. And yeah, it's very Anderson .Paak-y. But
get out while you can.
Deadass. If they rebuke Prop 13, you're going to have to get out while you can.
Yikes. But yeah, overall, it's a really enjoyable album to listen to. It's less like hype music per se, but there's definitely just like artistic stuff on here. There's some things I felt were kind of like throwaways, like Morocco, literally the guest verse on there was just like, oh, Morocco, never been there. I'll go there once I release this song. I'm rapping on this song with Coda the Friend. Yay. That's kind of like all the lyrics. It just doesn't feel very...
It feels out of place compared to the other songs.
Yeah, less like it feels out of place and feels just like erroneous. It's just like it doesn't need to be there.
The interludes are kind of cool, actually.
I actually like the interludes.
Normally we have a problem with interludes, but the interludes are fantastic between songs, because like between Long Beach and Away Park, those are two very different songs, and there's a great bridge into it. And it really does. This album definitely tells a story between each song as well. Where at the end of each song, there's might have been BQE or Long Beach, where it's like, is that bleep on a horse? And I'm like, oh my god, all right, somebody watch Django.
Yeah, I think it's the beginning of BQE. It's really, I love that little drop. And then,
because then you have like a female vocalist or a female speaking, I think at the end, maybe at the end of Long Beach or something, where it's like saying, oh, I'm like chilling or whatever. And it's kind of, a cool thing to put into it. That feels like Bishop Nuru a lot, where it has like those little
interludes back and forth.
Yeah, exactly.
To kind of transition through the album. Mm-hmm. A point where this album, or like the song sounded like straight J. Cole-ish, was Seven Interlude.
Seven Interlude, yep.
Because it has sort of that coming at you rapidly J. Cole sort of flow and beat. I know you watch me bubble like Michelin. I made it out of the ignorance. Now I just give them the syllabus. Make it and never be bitter. Always addressing my pillars. I hit the floor then I get up. Keep moving on like I've been up. Go with the grain, trusting my Lord. Won't let me in, I'm busting the door. Blood in my vein, love in my pores. Sun on the way, I'm up in the morn. Stay in my lane, refusing to change. The flavor's a bitch, I'm coming in raw. I gotta create to know I'm alive. To know that there's always gonna be something more. Blessings to it's yours. A really good homage and sound to it. There's a good mix of things on here. It's not necessarily exciting, isn't the word I would use for, but
it's very good.
It stands out on its own thing.
Yes.
It's very good.
I
would certainly like to hear maybe a more musically varied, almost upbeat version of this. Like, maybe like a banger or two in there. BQE comes close.
Because Code of the Friend is pretty new, right?
Yeah, he's up and coming, for sure.
Yeah.
He's had stuff come out before. There's Anything was his first album, then Photo, and then Lyrics to Go, Volume 1, is kind of like a mixtape. But
Everything, this is very, very good. I enjoy this. That's one thing is, so he's explored a lot of different sounds, a lot of different genres and stuff. But the main thing is, what I like about him is he did something that you don't hear with trap beats and stuff a lot, which is really broadening out your horizons and doing something very different than what most people are doing. So, kudos.
Yeah.
It's good. Solid. For me, for Jama Juices, this is...
It's a Caribbean passion
for me. Okay, that's a good one. You have... This is Strawberry Whirl, which is
You gave 1975 Strawberry Whirl.
No, 1975 is peanut butter and bananas, yes, protein. No, this is Strawberry Whirl, which is my second favorite drink. Strawberries Wild is my favorite. That one has yogurt in it. It will kill me, but it's still dank.
Yes.
You have Strawberries Whirl, which is just literally a fuck ton of strawberries and some oranges just mixed up. So it's good. And it's like the most Gen Z thing you can say is vibes. Also, I hate myself for saying that.
This Jamba Juice is missing out on prime advertising space on the most slept on, soon to be gold mine. Like, we're the penny stock that's about to become Amazon of Netflix, of Spotify podcasts.
Dan's ego is like...
No, I'm saying this is free...
free for advertising.
Free advertising for Jamba Juice. They should get in on this while they can.
All right.
But...
bear market, baby.
Quick hits just to get in through this really quickly. There was that time Mr. Rogers sued Ice Cube and won.
Holy shit, I didn't know this.
For sampling, Ice Cube was celebrating the 30th anniversary of his solo album America's Most Wanted and had a digital listening party on Instagram. I bet the audio quality for that was great. And he recalled old memories relating to the album. One of those had to do with Mr. Rogers. He wrote A Gangsta's Fairy Tale for Eazy-E, and it had samples of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in the original version, where it samples the TV show's like tune. And it has that line, and it has that like sound before the beginning line, which goes, "And now in the black part of the city," which is just really funny.
Now in the black part of the city.
The first 200,000 copies of America's Most Wanted had this version, but once Mr. Rogers caught wind of this without
approval.
Ice Cube getting his permission or approval, he had to remove the soundbite and change it. But even after that happened, Mr. Rogers basically made 5 cents for every dollar that that album made because of the royalties.
That's hilarious.
It's kind of hilarious. Even when you're a gangster, no one beats the super is apparently the lesson here. there's a mail carrier in the UK who is dressing up as Gene Simmons' demon persona in Kiss. So he's like full makeup, full hair thing and everything.
Doing the tongue thing.
32-year-old postal worker Gary Underdown, that's a very northern name, has said, "I've been a Kiss fan since I came out of the womb, and he started doing it on his route a month ago just to get a good reaction," or he said that he got a good reaction from it fairly, just to kind of cheer people up who were down and in their houses during this time. So
yes.
That's good. That's nice. Quavo, after 10 years, has finally gotten his high school diploma.
Congrats, mate.
He has
graduation pictures of Quavo are just hilarious. I don't know why. It's weird seeing him in a cap and gown.
Yeah, Quavo was actually the star quarterback in high school when he was actually in high school during the 2009 season.
Oh, shit.
So he was pretty good about that. His coach said he was pretty skilled at these things. But yeah, I guess he just used this time to finish his last semester. I mean, sure, fine, whatever. I guess there's nothing bad about this.
Yeah, I'm not gonna hate.
Yeah, I mean, like, you got some education. Like, good for you. Whatever. And we always like to end Audio Face on a fun note. This has been 3 years of doing this podcast, more or less. 3 years would have been actually on Thursday, so technically the 1975 bonus episode was 3 years, but whatever. We started this podcast talking about a lot of musicians dying by suicide.
Shit, that's right. The first, like, 7 episodes, we had the Audio Face before the bodies were cold, because every episode was a new suiciding. Oh my god. Oh.
Yeah, from humble beginnings, let's say.
This is why Spotify's never going to pick us up, because they, like, we can't have the first 48 episodes. Remember where we used to not bleep stuff?
I mean, we, FBI, we did bleep stuff. Don't even bother looking, because you're never going to find anything useful in this. But yeah, we started the episodes and the podcast remotely while I was still in Berkeley and you were down here doing them.
That was
and then
fun.
We did them together. We've had guests come on. We'll have continue to have guests come on.
We've had episodes that were lost, and we've had people had to fess up to their crimes. We've had
happened one time.
We've had multiple things. We've had birds in the background. We've had ambulances. We've had car crashes in the background. Like, that's a lot.
We've had a lot of things going on in the background of these podcasts, but it has been very fun to go through these albums and subject myself to listening to music every single week, the good and the bad.
Yeah.
This has been fun to do. Thank you for doing this with me. Thank you all for listening. And
Spotify, give us money.
Spotify, please give us money. I mean, $100 million for Joe Rogan. That's $100 million for two people. How about this, Spotify?
We'll do it for half.
We'll do it for a quarter.
We'll do it for a quarter? Yeah, I'll take a quarter.
And it's less on taxes.
It's extreme less on taxes. I'll take it.
So this has been Audio Face. If you enjoy this podcast... Oh, by the way, there was a gift I did have for you for the 3-year anniversary of Audio Face, but it didn't come yet, so I'll just make it a bonus thing that I will on social media for Audio Face, which you can follow on Twitter at Audio Face Pod, or on Instagram at Audio Face Pod. I can be found on Twitter personally at Dan from the Web, and Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. The entire show can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod, and the website is audioface.show. We're also on YouTube, youtube.audioface.show. Slowly, carefully making it up the Anthony Fantano empire, I guess, that he's built on music, YouTube, whatever.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Oh, that'd be strong takes. What if I got him on the show?
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting...
It'd be interesting.
Back and forth.
Because I have a lot of different opinions than he does.
Oh, so. me too, very. But next week, we'll have Lady Gaga, Kygo, maybe something else. Maybe we'll take a chill and do two albums, because it's been a lot. Mm-hmm. But we will talk to you next week. Cheers.
Bye.